Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. I'm David Jay. With my friend Pastor Jack, we're talking about the 21st century Christian today. Why do you think it's important, Pastor? Let me throw this question out to you real quick. Why do you think it's important, especially in the 21st century, that we as Christians become, if we're not already, very, very relevant in this world?
Oh, boy.
There's a big loaded question, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and you caught me off guard because I don't think the 21st century church, the commercialized church, the church that is the most visibly seen church.
Yeah.
How about this? The popular church.
Okay.
I don't think it's being much of a 21st century church at all.
That's exactly why I asked it.
You guys, listen, everybody, I'll start by throwing myself under the bus.
Go ahead.
In this 21st century, I'm still trying to figure out what kind of an impact for righteousness and for the kingdom, biblically, has the megachurch movement produced.
Yeah.
We've got great musicians. We've got huge churches. We've got all of this stuff. Then listen, if that was so effective, then why is America so messed up as it is today? Why are so many big churches so irrelevant to the affecting of a culture that is around them?
Mm-hmm.
You see, listen, size of a church doesn't matter, big or small. It's irrelevant. The truth is the church spirit-filled, dynamic, and engaging the world around it? The 21st century, we know from the Bible, is going to be a time where apostasy is going to be huge. But that doesn't have to be true for you, friend. It doesn't have to be true for you, pastor. It doesn't have to be true for your church. If you determine to follow Jesus like the first century church did, then we're going to be relevant, meaning we're going to be loved by the Lord and hated by the world. Listen, loved by the Lord and hated by the world. The world will hate us, Jesus said, because we're going to stand for light, righteousness, and the gospel. And can you imagine if we had a conference today? Come to our conference. We're going to have a conference on how to teach your church to be hated by the world. Nobody would come. Nobody would attend. And yet that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. And I'm not saying in the 21st century that we should be ugly or obnoxious. No.
Yeah.
If we stand for truth in love, the world's going to hate us. So we need to be a 21st century church, which means we're 21 centuries closer to meeting Jesus face to face. And we need to live like it. We need to act like it.
The 21st century Christian, that's what we're talking about today, based on Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, and this is Real Radio.
It is amazing to think of the age in which we live in. Scientific discovery never, never undermines God. It always asserts and comes in alignment with the Word of God. And if you're having a hard time with this, I could spend the whole year talking about this issue. If you're having a hard time with this, think of this. How is it that when Sir Isaac Newton discovered the discoveries that he did, that he wound up writing Principia Mathematica, which is to this day the greatest writing on scientific discovery in the history of man? And you know what the conclusion of Isaac Newton's writings was? That all of his discoveries have led him to a greater worship of God and a greater faith in God. That's what real science does. You say, how does this have to do with prophecy? It has everything to do with prophecy. Because the God of science is the same one who authors Bible prophecy. And they're in absolute agreement with what's going on in the world around us. Listen to this. And we're going to put this up on the slide. It's a statement from NASA, from the Goddard Space Center, Robert Jastrow. There is a strange ring of feeling and emotion in these reactions of scientists to evidence, by the way, this is not a Christian speaking, he's not a Christian, that the universe had a sudden beginning. These feelings come from the heart, whereas you would expect the judgments to come from the brain. Why? I think part of the reason is that scientists cannot bear the thought of a natural phenomenon which cannot be explained. Even with unlimited time and money, there's a kind of religion in science For the scientist who has lived by his faith and the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the heights of the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he's greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. Robert Jastrow, Goddard Space Center, NASA. That is an amazing, and he's not a Christian. That's awesome. That's exciting. I love that. The more we probe, the more we search, the more we gain knowledge, the greater our understanding and revelation is of the scripture. The third thing under this point is this, and I really need to hurry up. So here we go. It's theology is our strength. Third point under this consideration. The 21st century Christian is to know God's word better than ever because theology is our strength. And let me explain what I mean by that, by theology. The true knowledge of God. Really knowing him. Really studying him. Really finding out what makes him move and what makes him act and what makes him think and what his heart is. You say, Jack, really? God, really? We can know him? Look, if we can't know him, let's just go to the beach. It's going to be a nice day. Let's just shut this down. No, you can know him. Jesus said in John 17, 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. He's going to pray. And he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may what? Know you, the only true God, and the word implies know Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. The Bible says, be still and know that he is God. The word yada in Hebrew, it means to discover him. God wants to be known by you. Isn't that awesome? Ephesians 1:17, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians. He says this. This is Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? Knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Notice all these illuminations. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The old Westminster Shorter Catechism says, asking a question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God is knowable. To glorify God and to enjoy him. That statement has a presupposition that God is knowable. That is true theology. Do you know God? Bible prophecy takes place around us. Jesus said, these things I've told you in advance that when they happen, you will know that I am he. Isn't that awesome? That is absolutely wonderful. How knowable is our God? Now, I don't know if you're going to really get turned on about this next verse, but it is amazing. Because no other religion on the planet even suggests that their God or gods can hang out with them. Is that the wrong term? I had somebody write me before, don't use the word hang out. Okay, that there's no other religion or religions who have a god or gods that hang out with them, that just dwell with them. So listen to this. You say, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. And never forget this. How big is your God? How big is the God of the Bible? This big. Watch, Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord walking, hello, in the garden in the cool of the day. Cool of the day, that means like 75 degrees, like Maui. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord God and among the trees of the garden. Verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and Eve, or Adam, and said to him, where are you? Hey, now God knew where he was. He's trying to get him to confess. I'm over here naked because I sinned, hiding behind the bush. You got me. I'm busted. I'm sorry. God would have forgiven him. Did you know that? The knucklehead lies. Oh, my wife messed up my life. But did you get that? Don't miss it because listen, the God of the Bible walked among Adam and Eve in the garden. How big is your God? Listen, he appears numerous times in scripture. He shows up. He shows up to Joshua. He shows up to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? See, there's other, the gods of the other religions, they can't do that because if they get too close to man, they get contaminated. When your God is God, he can't get contaminated. Second point today is that we are expected to recognize current events. That's a fact. Christians, listen. The 21st century believer is expected by God to recognize current events. Why? Answer this. Is the Bible relevant? Yes. Is it current?
Yes.
Yeah. So shouldn't you be? Shouldn't we be? Look, right now your neighbors, I have neighbors too. You have neighbors. They're not happy with what's going on. You know how you know? They're avoiding the issue. I really want to give this second point to you in the sense of using it as a witnessing tool, assuming that we all recognize current events that are taking place around us. It's pretty awesome. Relevance, jot it down. Relevance, we are in touch with God. I really want to be relevant. Then get in touch with God. Know his word. It's no stretch to say that Christians today should be the most effective and yet controversial promoter of what's going on around the world, current events. We know, you guys, we know what's going on. It's pretty amazing. But listen, we are to be relevant. Why so? How so? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means know everything you can about God and about his word, church. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That whole verse presupposes that the world's going nuts, they're panicking, and you're like this. Look at me. The world's going, what's going to happen? And you're like this. Hey, how you guys doing? Well, don't you know what's happening? Yeah, I know what's happening. Biblical Christianity answers. The Bible answers. Listen, Bible prophecy. Did you know this? It's through Bible prophecy that the Christian has the answer for the immigration issue. We have the issue regarding war, child abuse, equal rights, racism, economics, law and order, government, its creation and its implementation, justice, welfare, even Obamacare. The Bible answers every issue of life. There's an answer to all these things. The Bible. How does it know this? God wrote it in advance, anticipating every situation, every event of life. God knows. And I hope you have that boldness. The Bible says, listen, why? The Bible says, here's current events. We're kind of bringing this together in vigilance. Christian, be on the guard, be watching. Know what's recognizing or recognize what's going on in the world. Know about it. Isaiah 17:1 says, an oracle, that is masah in Hebrew. It means prophecy. A prophecy, an oracle concerning Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. That's never happened before, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 17:1. Could we see it happen? Maybe. We don't know. But I got to tell you this. We've never been this close to the fulfillment of that prophecy than today. And it may, who knows, you know. I don't know if that verse is going to be fulfilled this week or this month or this year. I don't know. But you got to sit up and recognize and take notice. We're talking about Damascus, Syria, 21st century. Isaiah wrote this nearly 3,000 years ago. It's never happened before. Damascus is filled with people. That's why you don't go over there just, oh, let's go. I've got to defend my name and my words. Let's go. Wait a minute, you're messing with Bible land. Have you prayed about it? Right? The next thing is, listen, preparedness. The 21st century Christian is to recognize current events so that we are prepared. We need to be prepared, and we need to do that. How do we do that? Well, first of all, nurturing a heart of expectancy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect him. We need to be ready. In Hebrews 10, listen, this is serious stuff. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25, this is happening tragically in the negative too much. And let us not neglect our gathering together. You know what I'm telling you, you know what this means? I don't need to get together with other Christians. Don't neglect, don't push it off, don't ignore it. Don't let it gather weeds. I don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to church to be saved. That's true. But you need to go to church if you're going to be connected with what God's doing and with what God wants to do. And you'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus unless you fellowship. Listen, isn't it amazing? The church is actually resilient to technology. The church uses technology. But this silly thing called preaching, evangelism, fellowship, these things are eternal. They never go away. And when you come together as a church, when some people say they're going to just sit out church for a while, that is a slippery slope greased by Satan's butter. I just made that up. Does that make sense? Okay. I mean, he's just greasing it. And you're like, whoa, until you get equilibrium with the fall. It's like, it's okay. I haven't been to church in a year. I feel good. You're dying. You're dying. Watch out. You're dying. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Well, how do you know? Because listen, are you doing good works and are you exhorting others to continue on in the faith? Every Christian, well, I'm not involved in the ministry. You should be. You're a Christian, aren't you? Yes. Then you know someone in your life who's a Christian, don't you? Yeah. You and I are to provoke them to continue on with Jesus. That's enough conviction for today alone right there. And then third and finally, the 21st century Christian is expected to discern false from the true. The false from the true. Biblical doctrine, we're to know it because there's no other way for you to expose false prophets, false prophecies, false teachers than knowing the Bible. You can never identify the false unless you know the true. Three ways quickly. Immerse yourself in the Bible. I wish I could start a campaign, like, you know, just put a little tracking device on your Bible and you. Press a button and you get shocked, you get electrocuted, and your Bible opens up. And you have to read it. Immerse. Okay? Am I spending more time watching what? I don't know. Listening to what? I don't know. Than Bible. I'm going to ask you guys, let's take this on for like a month. Let's start to divorce ourselves from the things that distract. A lot of noise out there. A lot of distractions. What if we took a month to say, I'm going to read the Bible more than I ever have in my life? Oh my goodness, watch what happens. Heart rate's gonna go down. Blood pressure's gonna go down. Your joy is gonna increase. Isn't that funny? Well, if I just eat yogurt and water, I'm gonna lose. I'm gonna lose where I need to, and I'm gonna gain where I need to, and I'm gonna feel better. And look at the stuff we do. We look at people, what's wrong with you? What, don't I look great? You look like you're from Auschwitz. What's wrong with you? You're so skinny, what's the deal? Oh, you know what, it's just, you're starving yourself to death, man. Eat something. Oh, I'm on this thing. What if we had that kind of tenacity? Hey, did you see what happened on, man, I'm trying to think of a program. What's a program? I just thought of Days of Our Lives. Is that still a program? Did you see what happened on Breaking Bad? I have no idea what that is. She does, Breaking Bad. Okay, did you see the latest episode on Breaking Bad? And there's something. Oh, okay, well, the next question we have to be able to say, and listen, what's God telling you in your life? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Listen, we need to change that. Let's just do like a month. Let's just do like a month and see what happens. So what, did you hear what happened on Breaking Bad or the rams and the goats playing each other? What? Say, I don't know, but God has been showing me. Oh, mama, that's awesome. Think of that. That's cool. That'd be great. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Listen, expect to be resisted. You're going to be resisted. Expect it. Cheer up. It's going to be native. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, do not be ignorant of prophetic things. You're going to have a knowledge of what's going on. Listen, you guys, you can tell people in your neighborhood. They want to hear something, really. They won't volunteer for it. But when you say, hey, I just got to tell you something, man. Did you know the Bible? Did you see what's going on in the news? The first thing, when you start sharing with them current events from the Bible, they're going to resist you. They might say, you know, you're nuts. Get off my porch. You know what? Hey, let me tell you, if somebody attacks Syria, they're going to come knock on your door. This is, church, listen, we're done. Watch, you can do this. Will Syria or Damascus be destroyed? Yes, we don't know when, but we could say, hey, neighbor, I know you don't hear this. I know we're Christians, and I know what you think about us. But look at this. Isaiah 17:1 says, Damascus will be destroyed, and it will never again be inhabited. Watch. Have you turned the news on lately, dude? Turn it on, see, and check it out. Have a nice day. You just planted a ginormous seed of evangelism. Church, you can all do this today. Go to your neighbor's house today before something happens. Your credibility will go through the roof. Your neighbor's going to say, how'd you know that? How did you know that? Well, that's not all I know. Jesus died for you. And for, oh my, they'll go, what else does the Bible say? It's amazing. But expect resistance. And then we end with this. Give yourself fully to Jesus. My friend, give yourself fully to Jesus like never before. Big time, now. Give yourself to Jesus. Now listen, you may be a full-blown Christian here today and you're thinking, I gave myself to Jesus, you know, back 20 years ago. Have you given yourself to Jesus today? Listen, you were born again once. But can I put it this way? We are to be devoted daily. Yes, Lord. You have every day, yes, Lord. So Christian, listen, just Christian right now. James says in James 5:8, you also be patient. Oh, we need to hear that right now, huh? Patient. Your hearts, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The verse, James is saying, watch the scene. Be discerning, feel it, be patient. God always keeps his promises. Establish your hearts. The word implies that you're in a rough time, difficult time. Establish your heart. Have big roots. Anchor deep in your heart. The word of God does that. God's promises. Why? Because the day of the Lord's coming, man. That's what James says. He said that 2,000 years ago. Hello? That's 2,000 years closer than the day he said it. Any day now. Think about it. And we end with this. Isaiah 45:21 begins by saying, declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you alone have been so kind to us that you would give us the future in advance. You didn't have to. You didn't have to tell us what you were going to do. You didn't have to tell us what was going to come, but you did. That alone ought to blow the minds out of any doubter right now. That God has spoken about the future in advance in the Bible for us to read it. And we have absolute confidence because those things that have been fulfilled, that were written in your word, were fulfilled exactly, literally, how they were spoken. The things that are yet remaining to be fulfilled, we know from science, research of how you conduct yourself, God, in our world, you will fulfill them literally as you have given them. Wow, the greatest announcement of all is that a sinner could be saved. How prophetic is that? That you died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that some 2,000 years later, someone hearing us today would be able to say, Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me of my sins and make me ready? Will you come into my life and save me? Jesus, will you take the reins and control of my life? If that's your heart's desire, you tell him now, right where you're at. He's God and he's listening.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. Thanks for joining us. And all of us here at Real Radio wish you a very Merry Christmas. And our prayer is that you have the peace on earth that only comes from knowing Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the Bible is undeniably the single most reliable source for what the future holds, and it challenges us to know what's coming. The 11 message series, Awaken, will provide a wealth of information for the times in which we live. Let me give you the names of some knowledgeable speakers that'll discuss key topics about the impact of prophecy on our lives today. Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs. These are some men of God who really know their stuff when it comes to Bible prophecy. You'll get the MP3 audio files and the MP4 video files of the entire series of Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs. It is the Awaken USB. Ask for it when you get in touch with us. The Awaken series on USB for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.